B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's find out what this man thinks of what he saw yesterday. He's the great Brian Westbrook. He is brought to us by Rudder Roofing, Window Siding, and Decking. They will protect your house. Hello, Mr. Westbrook.
Good afternoon, Mikey Miss. How are you?
I'm annoyed. And, I think watching that game, I know you were annoyed. this is a team that they didn't turn the ball over, and they still gave the other team 27 points. Now, explain to me what coaching went on yesterday on the Eagles' side of the field.
Well, yesterday afternoon didn't seem like very much coaching went on. Didn't seem like very many adjustments during the game. But to me, you know, it wasn't even about the coaching that went on in the game. It was more about what happened during the bye week, what happened during that two-week period in between games that allowed you to come out flat, allowed you to come out in an offense that looked very basic, allowed you to come out with a defense that couldn't adjust to some of the things you saw 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And special teams-wise, obviously, we got to do a better job of coming up and catching some of those kicks and possibly getting the return. But, I mean, at some point, you have to prepare for what you're going to do. Andy Reid was a master at that. And it just seems that Doug, going into the bye and then coming out of the bye, his team is worse. They haven't improved, and that's a big-time problem.
All right. So, I mean, there's so many different ways I can go here. They gave up 94 yards rushing on the first two drives. Now, what does that mean to you? Does that mean line play, or does it mean linebackers? Does it mean safety? Like, why weren't they able to stop a very average Giants running attack?
Well, there were just times, especially in those first couple of drives, where it looked like the Eagles had never seen that type of option play from a quarterback, where they didn't know where the fits were going to be. They weren't disciplined enough. They weren't tackling very well. They were running to the wrong spaces, places on the field. I thought that they were better than that, but we've talked about their linebacker play all season long. We've talked about the need for them to play better. We've also talked about the safeties and their need to come up and make impact plays in the game, tackle the quarterback, tackle the ball carrier. But we also have talked about the defensive line and their need to dominate. And quite honestly, Mike, at all three of those levels, we didn't see domination yesterday. We saw a Giants team moving our defensive line off the ball, working their way up to the second level, and our safety just been in the wrong place way too many times, especially on the quarterback keepers and different option plays. It was kind of sad to see because they weren't able to guard and safeguard those things a few weeks ago when they played the Giants. But they also weren't able to do it yesterday, and it happened repeatedly, series after series. And so there just wasn't any adjustment during the game. And that's even more bothersome for me as I watched the game.
Well, and that's what you're absolutely right. No adjustment. But in general, there doesn't seem to be any specific plan. They're like blah. There's no fizz. There's no dynamic. They don't think to move the quarterback out of the pocket. They don't think to do a read option with Wentz, to use the legs like you see other quarterbacks doing. Has this coaching staff forgotten? Has this head coach forgotten how to coach? Or was 2017 just a fluke?
Well, you know, I'm not trying to take up for Doug in this situation because I think you're absolutely right. But there are some factors that go into it. Now, and listen, Doug should have had a much better game plan coming into this game. There's no doubt about it. He should be able to move his thought process and pivot when things aren't working much quicker and easier than he has. Here's an issue for Doug, though, and this is just the truth. You have a quarterback that before this game had been very inconsistent. So you're not 100% sure what you want to do with him. But to your point, Mike, the one thing that he has succeeded at is moving the pocket, getting them on the run. And even to the point where when you get Carson involved in the run game a little bit, just a couple of runs, whether it's a pass play and he runs the ball or a design run play, you actually get a better Carson Wentz. He's one of these guys when he gets hit, he starts to get the juices flowing a little bit. So at some point, I want to get that involved in our game plan to make sure that Carson gets his juices flowing early. The other thing that I certainly want to see from Doug, and you talk about the rollouts and things like that. And of course, I need more success on first and second down. And we talk about them being 0-for-9 on third down. We talk about the things that they were able to do penalty-wise, big-time penalties. We understand that. But when you look at the third down, I mean, there were just a bunch of third and 10 plus. I mean, six out of the nine third downs were third and 10 plus. I mean, there's just not enough plays in your playbook to continue to pick those things up. And so you're putting your offense in a bad spot because of what you're calling on first and second down. And to me, those are great downs to get Miles Sanders involved. And we saw Miles be very successful running the football. We saw Boston Scott be very successful running the football. Why can't we do Carson the same way the Giants use Daniel Jones? There's absolutely no reason for that. We should be able to run our quarterback a little bit more. And then once you get him on that edge where the Giants are thinking he's going to run, now you have the ability to throw the ball over the top as you suck the defense down trying to stop the run with the quarterback. We didn't see any of that yesterday.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
You know, it's funny, Tyrone, because we're thinking he's sabotaging the quarterback anyway. What's the difference? Have him run, sabotage him. You might help your team. Well, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
We get a better product. We get a much better product when the quarterback runs, I'll tell you that.
Let me go large picture here. And, because now there are people who don't think they win a game the rest of the year. Now, we've been rounding off it, and I've had it like, they're at least going to win six and win a division, they'll be capable of winning six. Do they have two wins left?
Well, I mean, you know, the next five games are tough. So, you know, the Browns, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, and you may get Jameis Winston with the Saints. So you never know what Jameis you're going to get. You may get the Jameis that's going to throw you the football, or you may get a conservative Jameis. So there's a possibility there. Same thing with Baker Mayfield. So, I mean, there are some possibilities in there. You know, then you have Washington and the Cowboys at the end. I think you have a couple wins in there. I would not be shocked, and this is just me, and there's nothing that supports that this is complete homer and blood, my blood being green. I wouldn't be shocked if they win the game next week against the Browns. I just absolutely wouldn't, because the Browns team has been up and down. They've been 50-50 at best.
Okay.
So I would not be shocked if they go on the road and beat the Cleveland Browns.
Right,
again, you got to remember this, Mike. And I want to be honest with you. This was a division game, and usually division games are much closer. They just weird things happen. But when you play a non-division opponent or non-conference opponent, like you're going to play next week, I think it's just weird how that works. I think you have a better shot of beating the Browns than you probably had beating the New York Giants, even though the Browns are a more talented team. It's just weird how that works.
That would keep people involved and engaged. All right, before I let you go, I just want to point out to the people what kind of a genuine, heartfelt human being you are. because yesterday, as you know, we have this picks contest, and I tweet out after I got that bad beat with the Cardinals game because they kicked the PAT. I had the Cardinals given 2.5. They don't kick the PAT after the miracle touchdown. Thanks. You respond to that with one word, life. Now, you see what I mean?
That's a violation.
What a rat he can be sometimes. You have a little bit of rat in you, man.
This is how life is. Sometimes it swings in your direction. Sometimes it swings in someone else's direction. I mean,
I wasn't feeling bad enough at that point. I get life. Thanks, man. Yeah, appreciate you. I make sure when I go to the grocery store, I'll buy your bacon. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. But I'll talk to you Friday.
All right. There it is. Brian Westbrook. I'll talk to him Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.